When everyone gets there, say amen. They might even put it on the screen if you'd be nice enough to them. Hallelujah. Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you. Okay, one person's there. Two. Three. Four. That was a deep one. Baritone. All right, and they have it on the board for you right now so we can all follow along. Verse 1. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody's familiar with this passage. Well, maybe not everyone, but for many in the body of Christ, they've come across this. Isaiah prophesying somewhere between 700 and 600 some odd years before Jesus comes on the scene, prophesying about a Messiah. Can't see him physically. All he knows is he's being moved, as the scripture says about the men of old. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Prophets of God, called and set apart for a sacred, holy, divine purpose. And so Isaiah is prophesying in chapter 61, beginning with verse 1. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, he could have been thinking about himself. All he knew was he was under the unction. He was under the control. He was under the guidance of the Holy Ghost speaking through him. They had the Holy Ghost in the Old Covenant, too. They didn't have it like we have it, but they had it, and they had it good. Amen? Holy Ghost in the Old Covenant came upon the priests, the prophet, and the king, primarily. But there were others that were moved by the Spirit of God as well. We even see, when we cross over into what we believe and call the New Testament, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we even see how when the angel Gabriel had visited, and he was in the tabernacle, he was in the holy place, and it was Zechariah's time to serve the Lord, that the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, was standing there at the right side of the altar when it was Zechariah's time to come in and serve according to the priest, according to his order, if you will. And so he came in there, and Gabriel spoke to him and then told him he was going to have a son. He doubted that, so his mouth was silenced. And when he came out of there, they knew that he probably had a vision. And he went home and he couldn't talk, but somehow he got the message across to Elizabeth that we're going to have a son. And we see that Elizabeth got filled with the Holy Ghost when Mary came into the door. Mary got filled with the Holy Ghost. She began to prophesy. Elizabeth began to prophesy after John the Baptist was born. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to prophesy. So the Spirit of the living God was moving in different ways and means, but he's been there all along, since the beginning. The scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. So the Holy Ghost has always been there. God the Father has always been there, and Jesus has always been there. They have no beginning, and they have no end. Everything came from them, and without them, nothing was made that is made. We attribute that to Jesus, but we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The three are one. We serve one God, but he's manifest in the form of three persons. Amen? It's hard for the natural mind to understand, but the Holy Ghost will help you understand clearly. You won't even question it. People that say, I don't believe in that. That's three gods. You say, no, it's not. One God. Co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent at all times. Holy Ghost did not get born on the day of Pentecost. The church did, but not the Holy Ghost. It's just when his ministry became amplified as the one who would oversee the church of the living God, and he still oversees the church of the living God today. Well, I thought that was Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, but guess where he is? Seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercessions for him, for us, I should say. He's in heaven at the right hand of God, the Father, interceding for us, and the Holy Ghost is here on earth to make intercessions through us with groanings which cannot be uttered in an articulate language. And so we are just so blessed. We don't know how blessed we are. We cannot lose as the church of the living God. We've got God the Father. We got God the Son. We got God the Holy Ghost. And all of them, and when I say all of them, I mean the three persons that make up the Godhead, they are for us and not against us. Amen? And so Isaiah is speaking by the Spirit of God. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, he's speaking with conviction, but he's prophesying somewhere between 600 years ahead of its time. That's just how powerful God's word is. God can speak a word into the atmosphere, and it can just dwell there for 600, 700, thousands of years. It hung in suspense for 4,000 years before Jesus was manifest in the earth. When God told Eve, or he told the devil, there's going to be enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman, it was 4,000 years before that came to fulfillment. The word of God lives and abides forever. The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And since it's settled in heaven, it has to be established here in the earth. But it takes us to speak that word in the earth in order for it to come to pass. When God looks at us, he's looking for agreement. He's not looking for questions. He's not looking for debate. He's not looking for arguments. He's not looking for resistance. He's simply looking for faith. Show me a heart of faith that I can put my seed in them, and they will declare that word, and that word will come to pass in the earth. Hallelujah. So Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. What did he anoint you to do? He anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Good tidings, good news, the gospel itself, to preach it unto the meek, those who are not proud or arrogant or boastful, but those who are in a position to receive the word of God. See, the word of God is to be received, and even the word received itself has a deeper meaning than what we naturally think. We think receive, come up here, Brother Joshua, we think receive is like, you know, if I give this to him and he just receives, okay? That is a part of it, but the thing of it is that in receiving, it's the Greek word lambano. Don't go anywhere, I need you. In receiving, it's not just receiving like you receive a gift. It is taking. It is taking. It is taking. It's one of those things that if you're, yes. My God, he gone with it. It's yours now. No. It is taking. That's another level. Receiving to just, okay, receive, I got it. Taking is to just take it out of the hands. It is demanding. Give me a demand, brother. There you go. Yeah, you're going to pull me with it too. He's demanding because it is required for him to fulfill what I told him to do. If he's to accomplish anything, if he's to do what I told him to do, it is of a necessity to him, and so he grabs it in that manner. It's not like here, and you just take it, and then you go sit down, and then you set it down. It's like here it is, and you come and you take, because you need it. Can't do what I've told you to do without it. That's how it is with the Holy Ghost. When Jesus told the disciples after he had rose from the dead, he came into that room and he breathed on them. and said, receive the Holy Ghost. It wasn't like, well, why do we need the Holy Ghost? For everything that Jesus was requiring us to do as a church then and even now, it was necessary that we have the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself demonstrated it because he himself not only quoted this word, but it's the word coming to pass now when he stands up in Nazareth and he reads the book of Isaiah and he reads this very same passage to the people. And then after he's done reading, he gives the book back to the attendant, goes and sits down, looks at the people and says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Point being, if Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, how much more do we? Well, Jesus was God. Not when he came to earth and took on the form of a servant. The Bible says, Paul says it in the book of Philippians, it says he emptied himself of himself. He gave up all of his privileges of being God and became a servant. He humbled himself. Amplified says it like this, because he stooped so low, therefore God hath highly exalted him. He gave up everything and then he depended upon the third person of the Trinity. Not a Luke watered down version of God, but God the Spirit came upon him. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. How did John know that Jesus was the Christ? Well, the Lord had spoke to him and said, John, the one whom you see the Holy Ghost come upon and light upon him and remain upon him, that's the Christ. Now, we see what happened in Jesus' earthly ministry. Anyone who's read the Bible, anyone who's read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see how Jesus walked on water. We see how Jesus cast out devils. We see how Jesus healed the sick. We see how Jesus raised the dead. We see how Jesus caused blind eyes to see, unstopped deaf ears. We see the marvelous, miraculous works that Jesus did. He did it all by the power of the Holy Ghost. He did it all by this scripture here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. What's your point? That same Spirit, that same anointing is on you and I. Jesus, in his authority that he received from God the Father by way of the Holy Ghost, was able to impart to the disciples and have them go out. First the 12, and one of them was a devil. They went out and they did the works of God. Then he sent 70 others, and they too went out and did the works of God. They were so excited that when they came back to Jesus, they were like, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. He said, don't marvel in this. Rather be happy that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. But then he says, the works that I do shall you do. Yea, even greater, because I go to the Father. Where's Jesus at? And so what did he do? He says, it is necessary, John 14, 15, 16. It is absolutely necessary that I go, because if I don't go, the helper or the comforter won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. The world can't receive him because the world can't see him and the world doesn't know him. But you know him, for he is with you and he is with you. He is with you and he shall be in you. So, what do we do? Well, the choice is really ours. The word has gone forth. Anybody know about the parable of the seed sower? The seed that fell by the wayside, what happened there? Birds came and took it away. How long did it take the birds to come and get it? Immediately, instantly. What's the message behind that? The explanation, come on, you're almost there. Jesus said, because they didn't have understanding, Satan immediately came and snatched the word from them. Some seed fell on stony ground. What's the message there? Hardened hearts, no death, unbelief, okay. Sun came out, they withered away. Why? No roots, shallow. The word did not sink down. Follow me. No. We're good. We're doing good. We're doing good. That was okay, but we're doing good. So the word could not sink down and penetrate and establish a root system for that person. So immediately when persecution came, as a result of the word that they heard, because that word really wasn't established within their hearts, instead of standing up for the word and rebuking the one that's persecuting, they caved into the persecution and withered away. But it's the word of God, is it not? Because this is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the word of the kingdom. He's talking about the word of God. He's talking about the Bible that we each have, that we're all accountable for, to know. Some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it so that it did not bear fruit. What's the message there? Cares of the world, difficulties of the world, cares and concerns of the world, okay. Deceitfulness of riches. He's on pride and lack of faith. Amen. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. Running after other things, busy and preoccupied with so many things that the word never has a chance to bear fruit. Because everything that we engage ourselves in that does not center around the word of God will actually turn against the word of God and choke it so that it does not bear any fruit. So when we ask ourselves, or when we say and when we proclaim, you know, the miracles aren't happening like they're supposed to, we need to go back to the parable of the seed sower. We need to go back and see, did I receive that word? Did I really get understanding? Did I take time to get understanding of the word? Because the Bible plainly tells me, he says, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. And then it's like, well, how far do we have to go even with all of that? Because some of us will be like Paul told Timothy, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Constantly studying. Solomon said, you know, you get weary with all of the studying. I mean, after a while, you got to act. If that's all we spend our time, studying. Nothing wrong with studying. It's a good thing that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. That is a good thing. That is the minimum requirement for every believer. But to study and study and study and study and study and study and what you doing now? I'm over here. What you doing now? I'm over here. I'm doing all of these studies and never able to arrive to the truth and walk this out. All it is just a whole lot of information that just puffs you up. That was the difference between Jesus and the Pharisees. So, the seed that is sown on good soil, it starts to bear fruit. It says in the measurements of 30, 60, 100 fold. What's the difference? You hear it, you receive it, you take it because it is necessary. You take it like medicine, if you will. You take it like it is your vital necessity in order to live as a child of God. And so you live by faith. You live by the Spirit, if you will. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost is the one that ignites that word. He's the one that revelates that word. He's the one who causes that word to come alive. He is the boldness that Peter then prayed for after they had been persecuted. Wouldn't that be something? Get persecuted at work and then go home and pray, Lord, give me more boldness that I may go right back there and preach the same thing that I got in trouble for. We won't do that because we don't want that to happen. So we cave into the persecution. We settle for not understanding. We allow all of these issues and things to come in and choke the word of God. Now we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's okay for the average Joe Blow person, the person that does not have no relationship with God, who's dead in trespasses and sins and on their way to hell. It's okay for them to ignore the word, but not for a child of God, not for a servant of the Most High God. You cannot ignore God's word. It's your life. It is your life. Your life depends on it. Every word that God speaks, you are like that person that has not eaten in weeks. And here's a morsel of bread of the word of God, and you take it for vital necessity to live. Stay hungry, my friends. Some of y'all catch up next week. They sent him to the moon. Not that I'm a commercial person, but they sent him to the moon. Somewhere, Mars or somewhere. You know, they stay thirsty, my friend. Stay hungry, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Stay hungry for the word of God. Don't settle for where you're at. Not when there's more. Don't just settle for being saved. It's fine being saved. You have eternal life. But don't just park there. There's more that God wants to do in and through you. That's why you're not in glory right now. That's why you're still here right now. Why? Because God's got something to do. These are empty seats. God says, fill them. We start off by prophesying. Every time you come in here, prophesy. No more empty seats. Prophesy. Every seat filled. Standing room only. People on the outside trying to get inside because they've heard what God is doing. Well, what is God doing? That's when we get on our face before God. God, move. Because if that's the condition for them to come in, God, move. Move upon every soul that comes in these doors. Don't settle for empty seats. Amy Simple McPherson, she says, I refuse to preach to empty seats. So what she did was she took one of those empty seats, went and put them out there on a street corner, stood on that chair and just looked up, drew a crowd, and then said, follow me. Took them in there and preached the gospel to them. Brother Kwame, the Spirit of God hasn't hit him like this. He's hit him in measures, but in this one on Monday night, it was a little different. It could have been the after effect of what he saw and witnessed, because the more God does, the more humble you become and the more you desire for him to do. it becomes contagious. It becomes addicting. It's like, man, let this happen every day. Let this happen all day. I can never get tired of seeing the sick get healed. I can never get tired of seeing a devil being cast out. I can never get tired of seeing some soul receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And God changes them right on the spot. Come on. Come on. You lead somebody to Jesus and all of a sudden you see them convulsing. You know that the Holy Ghost is working. And so he was like, you know, an apostle, thank you, because, you know, I know it's because of the anointing on the house, the anointing on you that is covering us, and we're out here doing the work of God. And, you know, apostle, I want him to come in. I mean, just the way he said it, he was almost in tears. I want him to come in. He wasn't always there. He was more gone outside, more concerned with, you know, it was like church. Who needs church? Let's go evangelizing. But he's like, no, I want him in the house because I want him to get what I got. I want you to correct him the way you corrected me. I want you. I'm not making it up. I may not have quoted it verbatim, but I'm not making it up. The men who were there ought to say amen. It was so. Yeah. And so it's like the more God does, the more we would want him to do. And so when God heals a person in the house, it's like, Lord, let there be more healings. Let me bring the sick in. Let me bring that troubled person in. Let me not doubt and think it won't work. Let me believe. When my mind says, what if it doesn't work? My spirit said, what if it does? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People are getting blessed left and right, right and left, up and down, down and up. Oh, God, because the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, because the Lord has anointed us. He didn't anoint us to decorate a seat. He anointed us to preach. He sent us to set the captives free. Open up the eyes of the blind. As the Spirit of God reveals his word to us, we're able to not only take it, because we got to get it here first. I mean, we're like that catcher, you know. It's, you know, and I know I disappeared on some of you, but and he throws, and we catch it, and we don't give it back, because we need it. We need it, and we eat it, we drink it, and then we release it. Isn't that how your body works? You eat the food, you drink the liquid, and then you release. Only the release is for releasing into another life, and it's not waste that you're giving. You're giving out pearls, hallelujah, precious gems, if you will. You're giving out food. You're giving out manna from heaven that has a power to give everlasting life to whoever would eat and whoever would drink. Thank you, brother. Praise God. I heard God move big on your behalf. Heard something like you were asking for seven things. Brother Tim said, be quiet, and God gave you 17 things. Something like that. Oh, come on and give God praise. Hallelujah. You don't need to know the details. You just need to know that our God is moving. Amen. Has everything to do with what God has deposited in this place for his sons and daughters, that everyone can partake of it. It's not just for a select few. It's for each and every one. It's for him who hungers, him who thirsts, him who is after God. Pursuit, actively pursuing the will of God. And we'll not settle until we get to that place God wants us to. Don't settle for the wilderness. Not when God's called you to go into Canaan land. Canaan land hath the manna, and the word manna means, what's this? Every day they were having, what's this? They got tired of what's this. We want some meat. We're tired of this. We don't even know what it is. I said, okay, I'm going to give you what you asked for. because you ask with the wrong reason, with the wrong motive. You ask out of a bitter heart. You ask out of an evil heart of unbelief. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you so much meat. It's going to come out of your nose. It's going to come up out of your mouth. It's going to come out of your rectum. It's going to come out of every exit on you, in you. And you know what the funny thing is? It happened, but they ate themselves until it happened. So Jesus quotes what Isaiah says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. What did he anoint him to do? To preach good tidings unto the meek. Meekness is power under control. Meekness is humility. We have to receive. James said it best. Receive. What does receive mean? Take. Demand. It is required. You can't go anywhere. Just take. Because of vital necessity, I need this word. Wake up every morning with that. I need the word. I need his presence. I need to seek his face. I need it for my own benefit. If I'm going to be useful, if his word is going to come to pass in my life, I'm not going to live this life like a heathen anymore. I'm no longer a heathen. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I'm a king and a priest to my heavenly Father. Why am I going to live like a pauper now? That illustration I did Sunday after service about the married couples, just to demonstrate we are the heirs, we are heirs, husbands and wives are heirs together of the grace. It says the grace of life, but it's the grace of God that we are heirs. And when I look at that, it's like that's royalty. That's like husband and wife walking arm in arm, and they're walking with their heads up, like dignified royalty, representing God. Singles, they have it better. Why? Because singles are all into God. That's how God wants you to be, all into him. You're only looking to please him. You don't have to look to please nobody else. Husbands and wives have to look at how they can please one another. That takes away. There's a blessing and a benefit in the sense that you have I hate partner in marriage, but people call it partner. But you have this helpmate. She has this husband, and you are joined together as one, and you are heirs together of the grace, and you are blessed. And the power of agreement couldn't be stronger than between two who are one. That's why the adversary wants to keep you arguing and fighting and bickering and, you know, mad and angry at each other. Why? Because your prayers ain't even hindered. Y'all can shout all you want to. You can brush your tadalabako. You can even fast and pray and you ain't getting past the ceiling. I know God answers my prayers. Well, he might answer my prayer for you. He's overlooked your prayer. If you y'all at each other's throat, yeah, somebody else is praying for you. It ain't your prayers that's accomplishing things. Somebody else is standing in the gap on your behalf. You ain't going to violate God's principle. You're not going to violate God's word. You're not going to make God's word ineffective. His word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I got to stop. Stand to your feet because I'll keep on going. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrows, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Everything is naked and open unto God, to whom we must give an account. God's word is powerful. Never settle for it not being fulfilled in your life. You keep pursuing. You keep after. You stay after. You keep waiting on God. I'm tired of waiting. What you get tired of? What are you tired of? You're just tired of the situation. That's what you're tired of. But don't get tired of waiting on God. He's going to come through. Hallelujah. Glory. I didn't get past the first verse. I was trying. I did say some of it. He sent me to preach sent to bind up, sent to proclaim, sent to set at liberty, sent to open up the eyes, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord is a year of jubilee. It's where real freedom comes forth. Real deliverance comes forth. There ought not be a single person who is a child of God bound by anything. The very fact that you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, and you have to listen to this. I hope you get it. Maybe you've gotten it already, but for some who have it. Now the Lord, who's Lord? Jesus, everybody agrees Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But look at what he says. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Okay, when Jesus was manifest here on the earth in his earthly body, he was Lord. Now he's at the right hand of the Father. But he sent one just like him. It is his Spirit that is now Lord. As surely as we submit to Jesus, we must submit to the Holy Ghost. As surely as we commune in fellowship with Jesus, and as surely as we commune in fellowship with the Father, we must fellowship and commune with the Holy Ghost. You think about this in the natural, and I've used this illustration before in just relationship with the Father. But you take an earthly father or earthly mother, earthly parent, and they have this child, and they raise this child up. And all the days of this child's life, they ignore them. They'd be like, something's wrong with that child. You ignore it. We don't have no conversation. You don't say hi, Daddy. You don't. Something's wrong with them. What's wrong with you? Well, it's the same way with us and our Heavenly Father. It's the same way with us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the same way with us and the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is here with us. And he's not only with us, but he's in us. And if we don't commune with him, it's just like parents having a child that does not commune with them. He's the power. He has the anointing. He's the one that enables us to do the very works that Jesus did, and yea, even greater. And guess what? He's the same Holy Ghost that Peter, John, Matthew, and Paul, and all the others had. Same Holy Ghost. Same one Smith had. And he don't get old. You know how the physical body gets and it starts having aches and pains and things like that? It's less mobile as it used to be when it was younger. Well, the Holy Ghost is not like that. He's not tired. He's not weary. He's not bogged down. And he's not too busy. He's here. Honor and acknowledge him and watch him work. Submit to him and watch him work through you. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Ghost, continue to reveal Jesus. Reveal the Father. And Holy Ghost, reveal yourself. Teach, help, fellowship. One of the things we usually close with, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the love of the Father, and the sweet communion. That word communion is koinonia. It is the sweet fellowship, or the fellowship, the partnership, the oneness, the communion with the Holy Spirit. May we grow in our relationship together to fulfill the hope of God's calling. May this church thrive like never before. More than just the praying in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. More than just the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness. More than just the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles. Just conversation. Just friendship. Lordship. To distinguish your voice from every other voice. To be led by you, because the word says, they that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God, the sons and the daughters. May we be led by you, Holy Ghost. And may you glorify Jesus and the Father. And we will take no credit. We will not grieve you. We will not quench you. And we definitely don't want to insult you. For you are the Spirit of grace. Bless the sons and daughters in this house tonight and those that are watching live stream. And whatever they may not understand, Holy Spirit, grant them understanding. In Jesus' name. Everybody who agreed said amen. Now the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of Abba Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God and a pillar and ground of truth. The Lord bless you and keep you everywhere you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Make sure you greet our guests before they leave. Praise God. Hallelujah.